Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis & Davis. We're not a real law firm.
Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Hey, Burke and I are here to welcome you back to part two.
Welcome.
Never seen the movie Career Opportunities with Jennifer Connelly. This song was featured prominently in that John Hughes movie.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
All right. So Burke asked me a question because
Scott came back with a tank top and I saw a tattoo on his shoulder and I said, "Hey, Scott, what's that?" He turned his shoulder, and it's a comedy and tragedy mask.
Yes, it is.
You got a story about that?
I had a cassette tape, Motley Crue, Theater of Pain, which had the comedy tragedy mask on it. I got this tattoo 1992, Memphis, Tennessee. Actually, Millington, Tennessee. And first tattoo, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. Some guy in his garage, you know, where his name was Bones.
And, of course.
We'd go over to Bones's house and get drunk and fucked up and all that. And he'd give people tattoos. And like after the third time that I was there, he was like, hey, you need a tattoo. And I went, okay, here's what I want. And I show him the Theater of Pain cassette cover, and I said, I just don't want the pentagram in there, because the pentagram is something that I just, you know, it's not me. I just don't want the pentagram. So if you look at the tattoo, you will see comedy, tragedy, but right this there,
tight circle
with a pentagram in the middle. It's like, you should have told me that before I was drinking. Damn it.
Tonight.
I actually went to see if I could get the
little cover up action or something, or,
well, yeah, get it lasered to remove the pentagram, because I still like the tattoo, even though it's faded and I have old skin now. But that's beside the point. Anyways, where were we on our list?
I was up to my number 9.
Did I do my number 9?
I don't remember. Well, I'll go quickly through.
What's
this
your one? What's your number 9?
He was not born in Ohio. However, at the age of 4, he grew up near Cleveland, Ohio. So he grew up in Ohio. It's Mr. Bob Hope. Born 1903, passed away at 2003 at age 100. Damn.
He was not born here. But that's okay. Do you know why that's okay?
Why?
Because
you met him?
The one theater that, well, one of the theaters at Southern Methodist. At Southern Methodist University here in Dallas is called the Bob Hope Theater.
There you go.
And yeah. I used to do tons of shows in there before they said that they didn't like me.
Nah, they're a loss.
Everyone says they don't like me at some point in time, and I don't care. But go ahead with Mr. Bob Hope.
Apparently he attended the Boys Industrial School in Lancaster, Ohio. And donated sizable sums of money to that institution. Had a brief career as a boxer in 1919, fighting under the name Packy East. He had 3 wins and 1 loss. Not too bad. But, you know, Bob Hope, he's kind of an institution, you know. Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Dorothy L'Amour. That's what I was thinking. The Road to Brazil, the Road to Bali. Bob Hope was the guy that did all the Road to Whatever movies. My bad. Big into the going over and supporting the troops during the war.
Yeah, he was huge with the USO.
Yeah. Yeah. The Adventures of Bob Hope, USO, Broadway appearances, sports car racing. What? Hold on. He became part owner of the Riverside International Raceway in Moreno Valley, California. Interesting. Showed up on the Golden Girls, The Simpsons. Just all around good guy, and just kind of, you know, I've always liked Bob Hope. I thought he'd make it on the list, and apparently I thought he was born in Ohio, and he was not. I'm sorry. Along with my next guy, damn it. But anyway, so that was my number 9.
My number 8. Mr. Dave Grohl.
God damn, how did he not make it on my... What? God.
Dave Grohl was born in Warren, Ohio in 1969.
There's like a big guitar sculpture in his... honor in Ohio too, man.
David Eric Grohl was born in Warren, Ohio on January 14th, 1969, the son of teacher Virginia Jean and news writer James Harper Grohl. He is of German, Irish, and Slovak descent. In addition to being an award-winning journalist, James has also served as the special assistant to Senator Robert Taft Jr.
Really?
Yes, his dad was a bigwig in the town. Now, he didn't stay in Ohio forever. He went to visit his Grohl and his sister spent the summer at age 13 at their cousin's house in Evanston, Illinois. His cousin Tracy introduced them to punk rock by taking the pair to shows by a variety of punk bands. His first concert was Naked Ray Gun, then the Cubby Bears. Grohl recalled, "From then on, we were totally punk." So he started his band as a punk band. When he hooked up with, as a teenager, he had a band from 1986 to 1990 in, what do you call it? He had moved to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Grohl briefly contemplated joining Shock Rockers Gwar.
Oh, God.
Who were looking for a drummer at the time. Grohl auditioned with a different band instead called Scream, and that was the start of his drumming career. While playing in Scream, Grohl became a fan of the Melvins and eventually befriended them. During a 1990 tour stop on the West Coast, Melvins guitarist Buzz Osborne took his friend Kurt Cobain.
I've heard of him.
And Chris Novoselic of the band Nirvana to see Scream. Following the breakup of Scream, Grohl called Osborne for advice. Osborne informed him that Nirvana was looking for a drummer. Hence, he became the drummer of Nirvana.
There you go.
In an interview, Dave Grohl, who is considered one of the best drummers in grunge rock, admits
that
the song Smells Like Teen Spirit is the riffs from three other drummers' songs.
Disco songs. All disco songs.
The minute that he said that, I was like, oh my God. He went on after Kurt Cobain's death to start the Foo Fighters.
Absolutely fantastic band.
Just a phenomenal band.
He's such a genuinely good dude. Like, if you've ever seen, like, he'll bring up kids on stage in the middle of his concerts, mm-hmm. and let them, you know, drums, guitar. Can you play this? Yeah. Okay. Go play it. And it's phenomenal. And then, like, during lockdown, remember I don't remember the name of the little girl, but like they were having this drum off battle.
Oh, the girl from calls. Yeah, that was the girl. Oh, she's an English girl. I'll have to look that up, but I know who you're talking about. She's only like 10, 12.
Oh yeah, but she's phenomenal. I mean, it's just what a good dude. Oh my God, what a good dude.
It goes even further. The drummer for the Foo Fighters was Taylor Hawkins. And unfortunately, Dave Grohl went through another death in the band that he was in. And this is totally on YouTube. Go and look it up. He, after Taylor Hawkins died, he had Taylor Hawkins' son, who was like 15 or 16, come and play.
Oh, wow.
The Foo Fighters. And I was like, he is just a classy.
Yeah, he is a classy individual. MF-er. Yeah,
and absolutely. I mean, he's rich as hell. He's made it for the rest of his life, but he flat out said he's here to advance other people as well. You got to give back to get back. And I love the guy.
I cannot believe he didn't make my list. Good job. Kudos.
Thank you. All right, sir. Who's your next?
Not from Ohio. Mr. Trent Reznor, who apparently was born in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
although, but his first like ever TV appearance in a band was right in Cleveland, and he was in a pop band. And like all the dudes are wearing all the bright colors and everything, and there's the dude in the background wearing all black. But that's why Pretty Hate Machine sounds like dance music gone horribly wrong, because that's kind of, he had a little bit of that background in a like a pop dance group, but then put his own aesthetic on it, which I find fascinating. It was like, oh, this makes sense now. Let's see, excuse me while I find references to Ohio. None, really. Oh, there's one. Origin, Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. After a year of college, dropped out to pursue a music career in Cleveland. First band was The Urge, a cover band. He joined The Innocent as a keyboardist. They released one album. Reznor left the band, joined a local band called Exotic Birds. He appeared with them as a fictional band called The Problem. Okay. Contributed keyboards to the band Slam Bamboo and briefly joined the new wave band Lucky Pierre. Interesting. Court of Appeals Ohio document. That would be interesting to look at. Guitarist from Ohio, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I've seen him play a couple times. He's amazing. I honestly thought he was from Cleveland originally, but apparently he spent quite a bit of time here, and his musical background is Ohio. So we'll give him the honorary Ohio degree. How's that?
You failed.
No. We're going to fail again on the next one, too, just so you know.
Oh, my gosh. Not again. All right. My number 7.
Okay. And the one after that.
Mr. Martin Sheen.
Oh, God, I forgot he was from Ohio.
Martin Sheen, born in Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio. Same place that the Wright brothers are from.
And yet none of them are famous for being from Ohio.
Ramon Antonio Gerardo Estevez, also known as Martin Sheen. Born August 3rd, 1940. Sheen was born in Dayton, Ohio. I'm not going to say these names because there's two. It's
Francisco Estevez Martinez and Marianne Filan.
There you go.
Both of Sheen's parents were immigrants. His mother was Irish.
During birth. Now, this is kind of weird.
I know. I was just reading that. I'm like, really?
During birth, Sheen's left arm was crushed by forceps, giving him limited lateral movement of that arm. He has Erb's palsy, and resulting in the arm being 3 inches shorter than the right. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Another Catholic. I don't know why that's important, but they seem to put it
seem to put it in bold letters just so all the other Catholics go, hey, look.
Okay, so the moment,
interesting family history. Good God.
Oh yeah, if you read that whole thing, you'll be like, wow.
The island of Bermuda, the family went back there, he was the only one born in Ohio. Contracted polio as a child. Well, he remained bedridden for a year.
Yeah,
dear God. Sister Kenny's method helped him regain use of his legs. Damn.
Sheen was greatly influenced by actor James Dean. Speaking of the impact Dean had on him, Sheen stated, "All of his movies had a profound effect on my life, in my work, and all my generation. He transcended cinema acting. It was no longer acting, it was human behavior." Martin Sheen talks about the fact that he does his hair the way that he does his hair because of James Dean. And honestly,
I can see that.
Honestly, go back and watch The West Wing. This is,
for that matter, go back to Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. But The West Wing was 1980s, and he still had the same hairdo. And honestly, the West Wing was what got me really hooked on Martin Sheen. It was a great adaptation of what the White House is. But they actually made you feel like the White House cared about people.
As opposed to him being a presidential candidate in the dead zone where he was a complete fucking psycho.
Oh yeah, he was psychotic in that.
I love every performance I see him in. I love him. So
60s and 70s, we have My Three Sons, Flipper, The FBI, Mission Impossible, Hawaii 5-0, Dan August, The Rookies, Columbo, The Streets of San Francisco, Mod Squad. That was just those 10 years. As he grew up, he had two children.
Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
Two children that had very lucrative careers in the entertainment industry. Sheen, as long as he's not hooked on drugs or something, he is one of the best actors that you will ever find. He made Two and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Emilio Estevez was a great actor. Breakfast Club.
A little more under the radar, but his stuff was subtle. It was nice.
Well, he turned into a director.
Golf clap. Golf clap. I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights. You wear tights? No, I don't wear tights. I wear the required uniform. Tights. Shut up.
Just a great actor. But his directing credits are actually starting to take over a bit more for what he does.
Oh, nice.
But back to his father. His father, I put his father up there with Michael Douglas, a very strong actor. His presence is known the minute that he pops onto a film. So anyways, that is my number 8. How about you, sir?
Another one, not born in Ohio.
Somebody not from Ohio.
Yep. Although, Where'd I go? In 1973, he moved to his mother's native city of Lebanon, Ohio, where he attended Lebanon High School, from which he graduated in 1979, spent the summer of 1979 working at Kings Island Amusement Park. Mr. Woody Harrelson.
Not on my list.
Well,
probably because he's not from Ohio.
They worked at Kings Island. I mean, come on.
I mean, Tom Hanks worked at Keene Park. It's not the same thing.
A lot of these people were born here and moved away immediately. These people were born somewhere else and moved here. So they came here on purpose. That sounded really good, didn't it? But anyway, I love Woody. I love him on Cheers. I especially love Zombieland. Oh my God.
Zombieland's a fabulous film.
And both of them are.
I mean, Woody Harrelson coming into Cheers to take over for Coach after Coach died was
brilliant.
Was just the best idea they came up with. I mean, because Coach was a staple part of that show.
And oh, yeah.
That could have really, really shut down that show.
That could have gone badly, but man, he stepped in and filled those shoes and took it even a step further. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a great all around actor. And Zombieland is one of my favorites, especially when they go to Burt Reynolds' house.
No. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, sorry.
Yeah. Bill fucking Murray.
And then he dies.
God.
But wait. It wasn't the Lebowski. Was he in the Lebowski? No.
Big Lebowski?
No, it wasn't Lebowski.
He was in the bowling
film. Right.
Bill Murray. Kingpin.
Yes, where Bill Murray keeps combing over like the three hairs that he has. Oh my.
Man Can't Jump, Natural Born Killers, No Country for Old Men. Now You See Me was actually pretty decent. Solo, A Star Wars Story, Hunger Games. He was actually very good in Hunger Games, I thought. So, but anyway, so that was my number 7 that almost counted. But you get up next, man.
That was your number 8, wasn't it?
No, that was my number 7 because Reznor was my 8. I jumped over because like one of my guys was your guy. But anyway.
I skipped one to make up
for that. I think we both had Clancy Brown. He was on your runner-up, and he's on my top list. I don't know.
I'm on my number 8, so I don't know
what. Go ahead and do your number 8, then.
I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know. Whatever.
Ed O'Neill.
How did he not? Oh, no, he was on my number 18, yeah, from Youngstown. Yes.
Born Edward Leonard O'Neill.
Leonard.
T-W-O. Two? Youngstown, Ohio, April 12th, 1946. 77 years old and just stopped filming his last TV series, which was A Modern Family.
Arrested Development came out. That's not it. Modern Family was good stuff. Oh my God.
Modern Family ran from 2009 to 2020. Now, before I get into everything else, Ed O'Neill is freaking awesome.
Oh God, yeah.
Ted Bundy, come on.
He will always and forever be Ted Bundy.
He will always be Ted Bundy. But what most people don't know about him, or maybe some do,
is the fabulous song Booty Town.
Ed O'Neill was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1969.
Oh, really?
Under rookie head coach Chuck Knoll, but was cut in training camp. Having to compete with fellow rookie defensive linemen like Mean Joe Green, LC Greenwood for a roster spot, both became key members of the Steel Curtain defense while Ed O'Neill was left out. Later, while While on Married with Children, O'Neill played a former high school football star who had failed to make it big and constantly reminisced about his glory days at Polk High. As part of this theme, former Pittsburgh Steelers great and Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Terry Bradshaw also made two guest appearances on the show.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense now that you say that out loud.
O'Neill worked as a substitute social studies teacher at his alma mater, Ursuline High School.
Oh, no way.
Oh my gosh, I love this guy. He went to Youngstown State University, where he was a defensive lineman, and he pledged Delta Sigma Phi. Wow.
All right.
I can never look at him nicely again because he's
pledged.
He pledged.
Is that a pledge pin on your uniform? Okay, do you remember a movie from 1990 called The Adventures of Ford Fairlane?
I do.
He played a detective in there that had a one disco hit called Booty Time, which is what I was referencing earlier.
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Hang on. Wasn't
Lieutenant
that
Amos?
Yeah, but wasn't that Dice Clay?
Yep, Andrew Dice Clay was the lead in that.
Okay.
Ed was in that for a hot second.
The film was both a commercial and critical
failure. It's a cult film. Fuck that.
Being awarded the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Picture, tying with Bo Derek's Ghost. Ooh. Can't do it.
He was in both Wayne World's movies, too. Very nice.
That just cracks me up. Ed O'Neill was a different type of actor, though. He was a character actor. And honestly, the character that he played was basically the same. Ted Bundy. Okay, his character in Modern Family was Ted Bundy all over.
Just older. Divorced and older.
Just older. And yeah. With,
with, I mean, a hot wife.
With a hot wife.
Some of his lines in that were just, do you want to come shower with me? If I ever answer no to that question, you have my permission to go downstairs, get my gun, and shoot me dead.
There were so many walls broken in that. He also starred in Wayne's World.
Yep, both of them.
Both of them. I think I'm kind of done with this. Married actress Catherine Russoff. As of 2016, they were living in Los Angeles together, so they're still married. That's about it for all of my stuff about O'Neill. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
He was
there's gonna, more.
He was going to be a boxer once.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, sir.
I got another one, not from Ohio.
This is your number seven, right?
Nope, number six.
I don't know how you're one off of me, but
I don't know. But anyway,
next time. Okay, we're not going to do this again. Next time we are being prepared and.
What's the fun in that?
I don't know. I think people are going to get annoyed after a while of going, are we on 11 or 10?
I'm on my number six. So this gentleman at the age of 2 years old moved to North Ridgeville, Ohio, and he lived there until he was 15 years old. This is Mr. Martin Eugene Mull, born 1943 and still alive and kicking, bless his heart. Maybe a little young, you probably never saw Mary Hartman. But that's where I first saw him. He played Colonel Mustard in Clue. Yes. Leon Karp on Roseanne.
Yes.
William Kraft in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
He was also in Arrested Development. 2 and a Half Men as the drug-using humorist pharmacist. He was in the film FM, if I recall. Had a music career, which I did not know about. And he was a painter, of all things. So, yeah, I've always thought he had great, great comedic timing. Unfortunately, not born here, but lived a lot of his life here. So,
I remember him. Go on.
What did he do? Notable live gigs included opening for Randy Newman, Frank Zappa, Billy Joel, and Bruce Springsteen at the Shady Grove Music Fair in Gaithersburg, Maryland. How did I not know about this? Musical comedian. Okay, got it. Okay, not just a musician, a musical comedian. Got it. Okay, I understand better now.
All right, I saw him the first time, I think it was, in Mr. Mom.
I remember him in that, but I'm trying to remember the first time. I think the movie FM might be the first time. No, it was Mary Hartman, because my parents used to watch that every blue moon. Really bizarre.
That was 1976 and 1977. And yes, yeah. I probably saw, I'm sure I saw him in it. But Mr. Mom was where I really kind of got into him. he was in Roseanne as Leon Karp for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of really started liking him in this this new show that had come out called The Cool Kids, which is an American television sitcom created by Charlie Day and Paul Frushberg. The series follows three male residents in a retirement community.
Oh yeah, that is a good show.
Leslie Jordan was in it. As well as David Alan Greer.
Yes.
I watched every episode. And God bless Leslie Jordan. That man was
so funny.
Die for as far as funny goes. Another show that he was in for a while was with Ashton Kutcher, Danny Masterson, and oh, come on. The guy from Roadhouse. Long hair.
Patrick Swayze?
No, he's dead. This was long too hair. Long hair. Patrick Swayze's mentor. The deep voice. Eat beef.
From East Texas.
Eat beef. Beef. It's all dinner. About the beef. Beef is what's for dinner.
I think you're talking about Sam Elliott, maybe.
That's him. Sam Elliott plays the father. And Deborah Winger actually plays the mother. There you go. All right. So that was your number six, correct?
That is correct.
I have a problem, Jen. Oh, all my screens just went black.
Dude, I can see the reflection on your skin of everything flashing.
That was so bad.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a quick
break? Well, we can't. Because we can't yet. Yeah, I'm up to my number, whatever.
Six, maybe?
Tracy Chapman. Guitarist and singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman. Guitar as a kid. Wait. played guitar as a kid in Cleveland, Ohio. Which is where she actually grew up. Tracy Chapman, why is my page? Yeah, everything is all messed up over here. We will take a break right after this.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. Born March 30th, 1964, Cleveland, Ohio.
A Fast Car.
Fast Car is her most famous song, of which she won Best Contemporary Folk Song, of which she won Best New Artist, of which she won Best Female Pop Vocalist.
Best Rock Song.
Well, that was Give Me One Reason. That goes. Oh, that was 1997.
Best Female Video. Best International Album. International Breakthrough. These are British awards. Best Female Video. Oh, that was nominated. Yeah, she got a lot of stuff for that.
She got a crap load of stuff. Tracy Chapman was, when she came out, it was, what year was that? 1989, I think it was, that she came out with Fast Car, which put her on the map. I didn't really see her a lot around Cleveland at that point in time. But then again, I was a college student right then, and I was broke, so I didn't go to a lot of stores. I went to the Armadillo. To get to
Cleveland, if he was playing at the bank in downtown Akron, I might see him. Other than that, not so much.
In October 2018, Tracy Chapman sued the rapper Nicki Minaj over copyright infringement, alleging that Minaj had sampled her song Baby Can I Hold You without permission. Chapman stated that she had repeatedly denied permission for Baby Can I Hold You to be sampled. Nicki Minaj settled for $450,000.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, there was a settlement before that by a district judge, but then it was appealed. Okay. And it went through all the bullshit, and it finally came out that Nicki Minaj paid $450,000 for her to shut the hell up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here because my shit don't work.
And I got to go to the bathroom, so good timing. Did I pick this one? Okay, thank God.
Save big this holiday season,
All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know who this is?
Is this Coolio?
This is Lakeside, a band okay. that originated in Youngstown, Ohio. Or actually Dayton, Ohio, sorry. Stephen Shockley started Lakeside. Along
Coolio
with,
stole that. Yeah, okay. Coolio stole that directly from them. Fantastic yes. Voyage. Got it. Okay.
Just, it's one of the bands that I've lit about 40 times. And Fantastic Voyage was used in a commercial over the past year.
Oh, really?
Yes. Which one? I can't remember. It was like Geico or something. I can't remember. Anyways, we're up to your, I don't know what number you're on.
You probably need to go first because I only got five left.
Oh, my next one is Def Leppard. And Def Leppard is not originally from Ohio, but they played there many a times. So...
I got scratched right in the middle of my forehead. Oh, that's much better. Okay.
I told Bob when I was outside, I'm going to do Def Leppard, man. I'm going to do Def Leppard. My next one is actually Paul Newman.
He's Newman. My number two. Yeah.
Ah, there we go. Shaker Heights.
Yes.
Shaker Heights, University Circle, education from Kenyon College and Yale University. Newman was born on January 26, 1925 in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, the home of Kane Park Amphitheater. He is the second son of Teresa Garth Fetzer. Oh, the Fetzer Company. I wonder if I'll have to look that up. Anyways, served in the United States Navy during World War II. He enrolled in the Navy V-12 pilot program at Yale University, but was dropped for being colorblind.
No, that sucks.
Yeah. After the war, Newman completed his bachelor's degree in drama and economics at Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio. Shortly after earning his degree, he joined several summer stock companies, most notably the Belfry Players in Wisconsin and the Woodstock Players in Illinois. It doesn't state whether he worked at Kane Park or not. I really wonder if he did, because that would be like home for him. On top of being an actor of great esteem, including
Cool Hand Luke and a couple of films.
Here we go. Our Town. Oh, I forgot he was in that.
Yeah.
The 80-Yard Run, The Long Hot Summer, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, From the Terrace, Exodus, The Hustler, HUD, H-U-D. Harper, Hombre, The Sting, Pocket Love Money, movie.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid,
Fort Apache and the Bronx, Come Along With Me, The Verdict, Harry and Son, The Color of Money with Tom Cruise.
Yep.
Fat Man and Little Boy. And if you don't know what that's about the bombs being dropped on Japan. He ended up playing General Leslie R. Groves in that. Nobody's Fool, which was actually a pretty good show. He was on The Simpsons.
Who wasn't?
The Road to Perdition, which was nominated. Yeah, that was nominated for everything. Our Town again in 2003. He was the voice of Doc Hudson in the Cars movies.
Yep.
And in The Meerkats, he was the narrator.
Slapshot
was good.
But why do we love him most? Because he drove
auto racing. Listen to this, folks. Because I have this page up right here. 1973.
Watkins Glen, man, right here.
1973, Road Atlanta. 1975, Road Atlanta. 1976, Road Atlanta. He actually came in first in the Triumph TR6 series.
Yes.
Road Atlanta 1979 came in first in the new Nissan 280ZX. He raced mid-Ohio with a Jaguar, came in ninth.
It finished. That's impressive.
Extremely huge in road racing. Actually is a part of the SECA Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Throughout his life, he helped several car racers advance their careers. And he was also a huge fan of Def Leppard, who's from Cleveland.
Well, I heard that.
They played in Cleveland many times.
Yeah.
With one arm.
You drop your stick.
Paul Newman died in September 26, 2008, in Westport, Connecticut. I don't know where he's buried.
Do not know.
Hopefully it's Ohio, but probably not.
Probably not.
He performed at the age of 10 at the Cleveland Playhouse. There you go.
There you go.
All right. sir, what's your next?
Let's pick somebody who's not from Ohio again. How about
Def Leppard?
No, Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
He lives here now. Like, he's been living in Ohio for years. And he's just like right outside of Columbus, basically.
Who, Dave Chappelle?
Yeah. He lives in a little like country community down southern Ohio.
Oh. He's not on my list.
Well, he wasn't born here. He was born in Washington, D.C.
Oh, he wasn't born here.
Yeah.
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard, however. Nah, he's been down here for quite a while. I think, and whatever I was looking up was like famous people that have been in Ohio, apparently. So yeah, I'm a little sheepish about this whole episode, and I apologize. But if you've ever seen the Chappelle Show, that is just some great comedy. And the fact that he walked away from Hollywood, like all the money and all the crap, just because he wanted to do his own thing, I really kind of got to give him props for that. So, yep, he is up on my list there. So, all right, we can get rid of him.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. My number five. Born 1907, November 16th, 1907. Burgess Meredith, born in Cleveland, Ohio. Meredith was born in 1907, the son of Ida Beth and Dr. William George Meredith. His mother came from a long line of Methodist revivalists, a religion to which he adhered throughout his lifetime. He graduated Hoosac School in New York City, and then attended Amherst College. In 1929, he became a member of Eva LeGallien's Civic Repertory Theater in New York City. Although best known to the larger world's audience for his film and television work. Meredith was an influential actor and director for the stage. He made his Broadway debut in 1930 in LeGallien's production of Romeo and Juliet.
Wow.
Yes, he started out in theater, but he promptly moved on to film and television, where he became extremely famous as the Penguin.
The Penguin. Although I gotta say, that one episode of The Twilight Zone, which is rated as one of the best episodes of The Twilight Zone, the guy with the super thick glasses and he survives a nuclear war. And he's stuck there with nothing but books and time to read.
Yes.
That's an amazing episode.
I think he played Henry Bemis in that one. He actually did four episodes at the Twilight Zone. He played Henry Bemis, Luther Dingle, Romney, Wordsworth, and Mr. Smith. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, you look at it, he started his television career in 1950. Twilight Zone was 1959 to 1963. Batman was 66 to 68. And he just kept going.
Yeah.
Bonanza.
A lot of stuff.
The Monkees. 12 O'Clock High. The Wild Wild West. So on.
He really wasn't afraid to do silly or oddball stuff.
Right.
I mean, he had serious stuff. He had vaudeville. He had a little of everything in there. He just really, he just wanted to have fun.
Now, growing up, Rocky was the thing for me. Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5. And they used archival footage for Rocky Balboa in 2006, long after he had died.
Oh, wow. Bless you.
He died in 1997 in Malibu, California. Spouses Helen Derby, Margaret Perry, Paulette Goddard, and his last wife was Kanja Sundsten. My nose is just like crazy. Anyways, Burgess Meredith, my guy. All right, sir. What's your next?
We touched upon him for a moment, Mr. Clancy Brown, Urbana, Ohio, age 64. I first think I saw him as the Kurgan in Highlander. And just recently, Uncle Carl messaged me on Facebook going, did you know that the Kurgan was the voice of Mr. Krabs? I'm like, yeah. It's like, I had no clue. Like, yeah. And of course, he was also Shawshank Redemption as the evil guard, which he was great at that. But even, you know, Ventures of Buckaroo Banzai, which is a really occult film, he shows up in that. Pet Sematary 2, Starship Troopers. I actually thought he was very good in that. He is going to show up in John Wick Chapter 4.
Oh, yes.
Heck yeah, boy. Dexter, New Blood, Lex Luthor. Yeah, pretty much if you ever watch a DC cartoon with Lex Luthor, he's usually playing the voice of Lex Luthor. Thor Ragnarok. Surtur. Oh, that's right. He played the bad guy at the very beginning of Thor Ragnarok. I forgot that.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, just all around good dude. Like, I love him as an actor. I love him as a voice actor. I just love him all the way around, man. Cast as a Viking alongside of Sean Penn in the 1983 crime drama Bad Boys. he was in a Michael Jackson short movie called Speed Demon. What? Alrighty then. But anyway, yep. Mr. Clancy Brown, love him to death. And he was born in Ohio.
All right.
Just like Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
I only got two left. How many you got left?
I have three.
Okay, go ahead.
Frederick Charles Willard.
Oh, yeah, Fred Willard.
Born September 18th, 1933 in Cleveland, Ohio. He was raised in Shaker Heights. Willard graduated Kentucky Military Institute, VMI, as well as served in Germany in the United States Army. Willard's stage career began when he moved to New York City. He initially worked. His initial work included a production of Desperate Hours at a local YMCA, and he worked with future comedy partner Vic Greco. They later performed as Willard and Greco in Greenwich Village. They found some success touring and appeared on Dean Martin, The Smothers Brothers, The Tonight Show, Getz. They were offered roles in television series like Get Smart and The Carol Burnett Show. Everybody Loves Raymond, 2003.
13 episodes. I don't remember that one. Wasn't he on Roseanne for a little bit?
Modern Family.
13 episodes?
13 episodes. What was the one that he was doing right before he died?
Bold and the Beautiful.
Space Force.
Oh, God, that's right. Like, everybody hates that show, and I think it's hilarious.
I think it's one of the best shows out there, man. Oh, and it got canceled.
I know. So sad.
Jimmy Kimmel Live doesn't count. On Space Force, he was hilarious.
Fred Nared.
Oh, look at that final appearance.
Posthumously, too.
Yeah. Well, he died really suddenly. It was cardiac arrest.
Mm.
But the guy been through a lot. Went through legal issues, lost his job with PBS. What was he doing with PBS? Market Warrior. What was Market Warriors?
Never heard of it.
Market Warriors is an American reality television series that follows four professional antiquers as they buy assigned items at flea markets and antique shows on a budget. Mark Wahlberg replaced him on the show.
That's sad.
Willard died in his home in Los Angeles on May 15th, 2020 at age 86, according to his daughter and his representatives. The cause of death was subsequently reported as cardiac arrest with coronary artery disease, which is what Burke and I are going to die from. So
I'm sure. Yep.
Man, the nuclear shit's not going to help us. All right, sir, what's your next one? You got what, two left?
I got two left. William Royce Skaggs, better known as Boz Skaggs.
Ooh, Boz.
Canton, Ohio.
Canton?
1944. Solo career in 69. He lacked any major hits until Silk Degrees peaked at number two on the Billboard 200 and produced the hit singles Lido Shuffle, Lowdown, and he has produced two more platinum certified albums in Down to Then Left and Middleman. And he later produced Breakdown, Dead Ahead, and JoJo. He's got a lot of good music out there. I have fixed so many cars to those songs. It's just kind of sad. He's got something to do with Toto, and I cannot find where that is at. It has something to do with Toto. Born in Canton, eldest child, father was a traveling salesman who flown in the Army Air Corps during World War II. Then they moved to Oklahoma, then to Plano, Texas. Is that anywhere near you? I know it's a big state, but
very close.
Awesome. All righty then.
Half an hour.
His weird nickname started out as Bosley, then Boswell, then Bosworth, and then shortened to Boz. He was a vocalist for Miller's band, The Marksman.
Boskags.
Album of the Year, Best R&B Performance, nominees for all those. Winner of Best Rhythm and Blues Song, 1977. Yep. I love me some Boskags. But all I got of him.
All right. My number two. I'm going to give you some songs that she won awards for.
Okay.
Rapture.
Blondie.
Sweet Love. Ain't No Need to Worry. Giving You the Best That I Got. Compositions.
Giving You the Best That I Got is Anita Baker?
Correct.
Okay.
Miss Anita Baker. Anita Denise Baker. Born January 26, 1958 in Toledo, Ohio.
Hey. Mudhens.
She is a five-time Grammy winner.
I believe that.
She's still on tour.
She's got more than that. She's got 20. Best R&B Vocal Performance, Best Rhythm Blues Song, Best Soul Gospel, R&B Vocal, Rhythm and blues, R&B vocal, rhythm and blues. Good Lord.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of those, and then the American Music Awards, she has 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the Soul Train Music Awards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Other honors, International Artist of the Year.
Canadian Smooth Jazz Award.
But she's also got a star on the Walk of Fame.
Really?
That I didn't know. Hollywood Walk of Fame. Star at 7021 Hollywood Boulevard. Miss Anita Baker started in singing 1983. No, she got her first record deal at 1975.
Wow.
She then secured a record deal with Ariola Records.
That's a bold name for a record label. It's not spelled the same, however, it is pronounced the same.
1979. Now, Ariola Records was bought out by Arista Records in 1979.
Arista.
She was with a band called Chapter 8 at that point in time, funk band. She released her first solo album in 1983, and the album produced 4 singles: No More Tears on its B-side, Will You Be Mine, Angel, and You're the Best Thing Yet. Angel became Baker's first top 10 single.
Nice.
I don't know what else to say about her.
Well, she's got a long, long career.
She has a super long career. She is extremely good at what she does. The tours that she's done, she had the Rapture tour 86-87, the Heat with Luther Vandross in 1988, 1989, Anita Baker in concert. It goes on and on and on. Look, Anita Baker's farewell concert series 2018 to 2019. Look, 2023, the Songstress tour. Every one of these bands that shuts down is like, we need to go out on tour again. Go ahead and give our lead singer a chair. Here comes Phil Collins in a wheelchair.
Yes, yes, yo.
Sue, oh, I got a poo.
Hootio.
All right, what's your number one?
All right, I got my last one is Born in Ohio.
Def Leppard?
Yes, Def Leppard, man. Willoughby, Ohio. Born 1933. Thomas Daniel Conway, better known as Tim Conway.
Oh my God, I forgot about Tim Conway.
American actor, comedian, writer, and director from 1966 to 2012. More than 100 TV shows, TV series, and films. He was in McHale's Navy. The Carol Burnett Show, arguably his biggest bit ever. And he could do no wrong. He used to make those people crack up so much. Because apparently they would do a morning, or like an afternoon show and an evening show. In the afternoon show, he would do the lines as written. In the evening show, he would change them to something that he thought was funnier. And that's generally when you got the entire cast cracking up and laughing hysterically and uncontrollably. Mr. Tudball, oh God, the oldest man, He co-starred with Don Knotts in several films. He provided the voice of Barnacle Boy in the SpongeBob SquarePants series, at his own TV series. Won 6 Primetime Emmy Awards during his career. Yeah, grew up in Willoughby, near Chagrin Falls. Groom for polo ponies, excuse me. His father immigrated to the United States in 1927. He was born in Ireland to Scottish parents, and his mother was a first generation Romanian American. Interesting stuff. Attended Bowling Green University in Bowling Green, Ohio. Majored in television and radio and was a disc jockey. He was in a fraternity. Well, maybe I have to take him off. Listen to the United States Army, where he served from 1956 to 1958. He was worked with Ernie Anderson in Cleveland on KWY-TV, an NBC affiliate. He was on WJW-TV and weekday morning film show under Ernie Place's banner, where he wrote the material for comic skits shown during film intermissions. Interesting. So he's actually got, he resurfaced periodically on Cleveland television on the Houlihan and Big Chuck and Big Chuck and Little John shows. He also made regular guest appearances on Goulardi Fest functions. Showed up on the Steve Allen show. Showed up on Laughin'. He had his own show, the Tim Conway show. Did the dwarf things. He had a long career and just what a funny, funny guy. So, yep, he's my number one.
My number one. And I will reiterate, it is personal preference. I'm not saying that this person's better than somebody. He just kind of takes number one for me, A, because I knew him, and B, he was all about Ohio. That is Michael Stanley G. Born March 25th, 1948 in Cleveland, Ohio, graduated from Rocky River High School. Played with or had these people play with him in his band. Joe Walsh, Todd Rundgren, Rick Derringer, Joe Vitale, Jonah Coslin, Kenny Pastono, Dan Fogelberg, David Sanborn, Al Perkins, Joe Lala, Paul Harris, Richie Fury, Jay Giles.
It's a lot of talent.
That's a crap load of talent.
I almost had Joe Walsh on my list, but then realized he was not born here. So.
Yeah, he's from Wichita, Kansas.
Although he was going to Kent State also during the Kent State shootings.
Did you happen to know who opened for Michael Stanley?
Was this something like Led Zeppelin or something? You told me the story before.
Eric Clapton.
That was close.
Another guy from Ohio opened at the Richfield Coliseum for the Michael Stanley Band. The Michael Stanley Band started in 1974 and was dissolved in 1987. In 1987, their farewell shows, 12 shows at the Front Row Theater, all sold out.
Nice.
Members of the band were Michael Stanley, Jonah Coslin, Danielle Petrio, Tommy Dobeck on drums, Bob Palander on keyboards, Gary Markaski, Kevin Raleigh, Michael Gismondi, Rick Bell, Danny Powell.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Clarence was in there somewhere, wasn't he?
Clarence Clemons played saxophone on Lover and Someone Like You.
Gotcha.
He was a stable host on WMMS from 1990 until a few weeks before he died in 2021. Michael Stanley in 1991 had a heart attack. And I don't know, I mean, anyone that was a Michael Stanley fan remembers the 91 heart attack and then him coming back in 2 years and doing a concert at Blossom, which was a great concert. He died March 5th, 2021 after suffering 7 years with lung cancer and prostate cancer.
Oh, man. That'd be rough.
What a freaking double whammy, man.
Both ends. Sorry. It's late. I'm a little slap happy. I apologize.
I'm trying not to laugh. Oh my God, you're such a dick.
You're going to too.
Yeah, singles. Let's see here. Lover made it to 68 on the US pop list. He Can't Love You Like I Love You made it to 33. My Town made it to 39, which he made
dozens.
He made like 24 different versions for every large city in America, which kind of makes me wonder why that didn't go a little bit higher. But yeah, his biggest and best hit was He Can't Love You, which wasn't even sung by Michael Stanley. It was sung by Jeremy Coslin.
No, okay.
The things I remember. Anyways, the reason that I picked him for number one was because he was always Ohio. He never left. He toured. He lived Ohio. I saw him at the Richfield Coliseum. I saw him at the Agora. I saw him at Blossom Music Center. The man was all about where he grew up. And that's something that I take pride in. He is buried in my favorite cemetery.
Which is?
Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland Heights. The same place where Marcus Alonso Hanna is buried, the same place that James A. Garfield is buried, the same place that John D. Rockefeller is buried. And it is straight up the hill from the rapid transit station that I used to get dropped off at when I was working at Kane Park. So I walked by it every day.
Cool.
Fabulous.
Lucille Ball is buried there?
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's if you're a cemetery hunter, Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland Heights is a place to go. There are so many famous people buried there, including Marcus Alonso Hanna. The Hanna Theater, you know, the guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Who else is buried there? I wish they had a list of everyone that was buried there. Notable internments. Newton Baker, Ernest Ball. Ernest Ball, isn't that Lucille Ball's
father? I would assume so.
I think that's her father. Charles Chestnut. Ray Chapman, who used to be a baseball player with the Indians. Marcus Alonso Hanna, U.S. Senator and Republican Party boss. Yeah, there's just Lewis Stokes is in there. Anyone from Ohio remembers that name? John D. Rockefeller, philanthropist and founder of Standard Oils, Ohio, which became BP, which was also Boron, which...
Yeah, depending on where you were.
Yeah. Abram Garfield, who was related to President Garfield, is intern there. Just a whole bunch of really cool people.
And Alan Freed, who coined the phrase rock and roll.
Al Lerner, who actually used to own the Cleveland Browns, is buried there. Garfield's wife is in there. And
Little Italy.
Yes.
Like reading through, I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway.
There's a huge amount of people in that cemetery. Anyways, I want
people. Get a little off topic. Sorry.
Want people to remember Michael Stanley and not the cemetery. The band actually, like I said, dissolved in 1987, the year I graduated high school, which I shouldn't say because that ages me and I'll never pick up any of the hot women. Anyways.
I don't think the year you graduated is going to help you not pick up hot women. But anyway.
I think the baldness is going to help. Anyways, that's our list, guys.
Love it. Hate it. Mine kind of sucked a little bit. My apologies. I will strive to do better.
Oh, that never happens. All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember to go to davisandavisshow.com.
And if you want some merch, we got the davisandavisshow.com.
That sounds exciting. We're back. Next week, we don't know what we're doing.
We'll figure it out.
Someday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great time. Have a great time. Have a great time. We got like 3 hours of shows or 4 hours of show in here. That's crazy. I got to go. I got darts to throw. All right, everyone.
Have a good
Remember.
Take a shit.
Have a good
your
day.
Ass. Use water.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.